Welcome back to Underdog Stuff with Kirk Reese, live radio show and podcast. Boy, that break went by quick. It's a quick break. Quick break, and we're quickly back. And we're going to talk about
getting your people.
Yes.
At some, when you're at an event, what kind of event?
You know, it's so the unofficial end of summer was last week, Labor Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But summer's not actually over yet.
Yeah.
And I don't want us to be in our New York City bubble, because while it's starting to get cooler here, there's a lot of the country like, we going to be cooking out for the next couple months because it's still warm in the South, in the Midwest, on the West Coast. And so I wanted us to talk about when you might have to get your peoples at the infamous, the greatest thing on earth called the cookout. Because I saw a recent article in TheRoot.com that talked about lessons we can learn about how to act at the cookout that also are good life lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, if you break some of these rules at the cookout or in life, then somebody's going to be like, yo, go get your people.
Mm.
So let's talk about it. There were a couple top five things to not do or to respect when the cookout.
Cool.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Five rules for the black cookout, which I think is also representative of life. First one, bring something to the table.
Bring something to the table. Don't just show up with your two hands. As somebody who organizes family events and things like this, you know, it's always appreciated when people bring things.
What does it feel like, though? Or I should say, what goes through your mind when one of your peoples comes through the door empty-handed? Like, what's going on inside your brain that may not even make it outside? Like, you may not even say it out loud.
You know, there's two situations. So if it's somebody that is a close family member that I already knew that they weren't going to bring anything in the first place, it's just like, I just sort of like, yep, I in my head, I'm just like, get inside. At least go wash a dish or take out the garbage. I use them not bringing something as, okay, I'm going to like make you do some task, okay? I'm not afraid to ask that. But when it gets me to say it out loud is when people come empty-handed and bring a bag of people. That's the one that I can't do. Like, it's like, not only did you bring nothing, but you came with like three or four extra people that like are not invited or that we don't know.
And I'm going to build off that one. Or if they don't bring anything and their people didn't come, but when it's time to leave, they're like, yo, can I get a couple plates for my people? I'm like, you didn't bring anything, and now you want to take stuff to other people who not even here?
Oh, people that don't bring things definitely don't get takeout containers. That I monitor that.
But the nerve to say, not only do I want to take some for me, but for my peoples who didn't come.
Yeah, it depends how close we are and why they didn't come. But I'm actually more upset when they just bring erroneous extra, like, people, like friends and things, like, you know.
Okay.
And don't bring anything.
Underdogs. Bring something. And it doesn't even have to be extravagant. Bring some paper plates. Bring some soda. Bring something.
But in life, how does that actually relate to a person?
Because I think in life, whenever someone invites you into their space or their home or their office, it's a show of appreciation. It's a show of acknowledging that they've done something and you want to actually show your appreciation and kind to them. And I think it just creates a sense of like, we're in this together.
Well, to me, I actually took it a little bit of a different way and sort of looked at bring something to the table in less of a tangible way when we sort of think about it as life. And so a lot of the times we have, especially, you know, when you're looking for a partner or for a job or for something, you know, you set your expectations of what you want in a person or in a job or something. But then are you really thinking, what are you bringing to the table that allows you to ask, get, deserve those types of things? And I think that's really important, because I think when people are not really bringing something to the table, but yet they want all the food that's on the table, that's when I gotta go get them.
Yes, because no one wants long-term to be around a taker.
Right.
And when you bring stuff to the table, you become also a giver.
Right.
Very cool. So number one, for the cookout and for life, bring something literally or figuratively to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, respect the culture. Now, this one, for example, would be, you know, every family has certain rules and things like that. But I know one of the rules at the cookout that I've been in and grown up in is let the elders eat. Don't jump in front of line of grandma or your uncle. Make sure that the grown folks, the elders, get their food before you do.
You know what? I always actually take it a step further because I'm actually very close with the elders in my family. Get the elders they plate.
Yes.
I think let them sit down. Why should grandma and Auntie June be standing in line with their bad knees? Let them sit down. You and your little cousins go prepare the plates for them and help them. And bring it to them. Treat them like the elders that they are and give them that type of royal treatment that they deserve.
And you know how I know a lot of people ain't following this rule? Ever try to get on an airplane?
Oh, gosh.
And you see, like, the 28-year-old fit person running in front of people before the folks in the wheelchair are trying to get on, folks who are families with little kids are trying to get on, not helping people put their luggage about, like, into the overhead space when you see them struggling. So to your point about this ain't just about cookouts, respect the culture, respect our elders, respect children, respect families everywhere, not just at the cookout.
Exactly.
You know, some people need a refresher course on home training.
I think respect the culture is sort of just be aware and take the time to understand what's important to that situation, you know? And I think even you could even break out honor those who came before you as its own type of thing, because there's a lot of ways that people need to be respecting the culture in many different types of situations, and honoring the elders is just one of them. Be aware.
Very, very true.
And don't try to just impose what you think on a situation that was there before you were.
Very true. Underdogs. Are you following any of these rules in life or at the cookout so far? The first rule is bring something to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Asha pointed out very astutely, that's a metaphor for life. Bring something to the table. Skills. Be a giver, not just a taker, not just the literal bring food to the table. Number two was respect the culture, which we just talked about. Respect the elders. Please do better. Number three, know thyself. That's pretty profound for a cookout.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that is, at least in the context of the Black cookout, is if you can't grill, don't raise your hand to work the grill.
Burn up all the meat.
You know, the meat costs a lot of money.
I know. Ain't nobody got time for those dry burgers. I didn't say anything.
Yo, I was about to have to get my people.
Get that button.
Get the patty button.
Nobody got time for those
no.
dry burgers.
If you can't bake macaroni and cheese, don't raise your hand.
No, please don't.
If you don't know how to DJ,
don't
be like, no, you know, I worked the records today.
Don't do it.
Know thyself.
Don't do it.
How does this one come to life outside the cookout?
I think you gotta just know what you're good at and what you're bad at and play to that. You know your strengths, know your weaknesses, and acknowledge that. Don't and act accordingly. And, you know, so to the point of in life, you know, if there's things I know I'm good at other things, you know, and I don't try to, you know, force certain things on myself, you know. And so, for example, I know that I am not the most organized person in some sections. You know, I'm organized like from a professional standpoint, but in like my personal standpoint, I'm not where I need to be. I'm in like I have a weakness there, you know? And so I know myself. And so I have to set up things in my own sort of weird way in order to help me be a productive member of society and how to sort of get things done.
fair enough. So personal life, you often would like some assistance keeping things organized.
Yes.
Okay. And so you wouldn't be the one who would volunteer to to plan the getaway trip for you and your friends.
But it's funny because, like, those things I can be. It's like every – I'm actually the one that organizes every – maybe that wasn't a good example because I organize all the family events and family occasions. I'm just like – it's like the day-to-day.
Okay. Or it sounds like what I'm hearing is organizing things where it's solely more about you and your day.
Yeah.
When it involves groups or others, you're on it. So there's like, opportunity to maybe give your care, exactly. give yourself the same care that you give organizationally to others.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's a good one. I mean, I think the know thyself one is, I mean, talk about learning from the Black cookout, like for all of life. Know thyself is a great one. And you mentioned know your strengths. One of my favorite approaches to strengths and weaknesses is that there is this saying that, and we know this from our professional lives, that oftentimes there's a lot of time spent on, like, what are your three weaknesses? What are your three strengths? Almost equally giving as much time to things that you're not that good at to things that you are. But in life, we're actually mostly appreciated and compensated for things we do well. And I think there's actually an opportunity for people to actually become extraordinary to the things they do well, as opposed to spending a lot of time on just trying to be okay in the things that they're not that great at. Mm. And so my offer to people is, like, if you're great at being strategic, but yet you're so-so on like, let's call it some administrative stuff, worry about being extraordinary, being strategic, because people will appreciate you and want to work with you and be down with you because you do that better than most other people. Mm. So know thyself, and then whatever you're good at, be awesome at it.
Be awesome. Spend
your time there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, number four. This one definitely can be a metaphor for life. Choose your partners wisely.
Yep.
Now, in the context of the cookout, they're talking about when it's time to play spades. make sure you got a good spades partner. Like, so that, or for those who play Uno or whatever you play, make sure you got a good partner. That's in the context of the cookout.
Or dominoes.
You know, choose your partners wisely. I think this was almost self-explanatory how this one can represent life.
Yep.
Because it is said, romantically, whoever you choose as your significant other is literally one of the most important decisions on your life's happiness.
Yeah.
There is. And then obviously we know in a business setting, having a bad business partner or a bad merger can be
catastrophic.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Know thyself.
And choose your partners
choose
wisely.
Choose your partner wisely. Last but not least.
I like this one.
The last life lesson from the cookout. Dance like nobody's watching except your cousins.
Mm-hmm.
What's this one mean to you?
Oh, this just means be yourself. This just means, you know, it's like you gotta just, sometimes you gotta have your time to just let loose and be yourself. And, you know, definitely I love the, in the write up of this one, it said the family cookout is the time that you can eat watermelon freely and not be judged as a Black person.
Yo, I remember at work in the cafeteria.
I know.
So
when the fruit tray comes in.
Yo, so no lie. I'd be in the cafeteria and it's like watermelon season has started. Watermelon is my favorite fruit. I argue to say maybe favorite food in the world. Like, you ask me my favorite fruit, top three, I'm like watermelon one, watermelon two, mango three.
Oh, nice.
So I remember I'd go to the salad bar and it'd be time to get some fruit. And I'd have a bowl and I'd put my watermelon in first. And then I'd try to dress it up with like pineapples and other stuff on top so it just wouldn't look like I had a bowl of watermelon.
Oh my God.
So self-conscious to me getting watermelon. I don't think I was fooling anybody, but yes. The cookout is where I can have all the watermelon I want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also in life, this is be yourself. But the thing about, you know, make sure that you still realize that there are some people watching. So there's still a time and place for things that, you know, have your fun. But be mindful that there are some people still watching. So don't be tonguing down your significant other while the baby's just like watching. Your cousins is there.
Wow, that went in a different direction than I expected.
No, but because the cousin
is that, is that what happens?
Well, you could be on the dance floor, the slow jam comes on, or, you know, watch your language. You know, you still got to be mindful when you got the little cousins around.
I know. I just think that's funny.
Okay, that's all. So we're going to take a quick break and then more of today's episode. Get your people, get your peeps, get your mans in them and your womans in them after this break.
Cool.
Welcome back to Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith, live radio show and podcast that we do here every week on WATR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem. Shout out to all the underdogs following along on Facebook Live at facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith and following along on WATR 90.3 FM, riding around in their cars on a sunny Sunday. Listening online at WATR.org. We appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
Today's episode, Get Your People. There are folks in politics, culture, and our personal lives that sometimes need a timeout, need to sit in the corner, or may even need to be kicked off the island.
Mm-hmm.
Like Survivor Apprentice in the White House these days. People resigning, but really they're fired. With that, we were just talking about what you can learn from the cookout, both how to not be that person where people are like, yo, we need to go get your mans in them. And actually what we can learn about life from the cookout. With that, we're coming up to the near end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Time is flying by. And it's time for new rules.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you got people in your life or you're one of these people, we might have to say, go get your people if you don't follow these new rules.
Okay.
The first new rule.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say, and there's people out here saying this, that Colin Kaepernick is a rich, spoiled athlete. He doesn't know what it's like to be oppressed. He can't represent those people. And yet at the same time, tell me Trump, who's a billionaire, is the voice of the white working class who supposedly has been forgotten over the past 8 years.
I think that is so interesting. I never really thought about putting those two things together, but it really does like make sense because you're like, yeah, that is one of their responses. Like they're like, oh, Colin, stop acting like this. It's not like you're the one getting beat up on the streets by the police. And then it's like, and then that's almost, then that happens to Michael Bennett. And they're like, well, we didn't really beat him up, but then we actually did. Because he was running away on a scene where everybody was running. So, but, and then you think about Donald Trump and he's a billionaire and he's actually acting like as if he cares about poor people and his actions almost don't even reflect that.
And think about it. There's literally Trump supporters who are mad at the millionaire Colin Kaepernick,
mm-hmm.
but yet saying the voice of the forgotten man is a billionaire.
Exactly.
Get your people, if that's their point of view, because guess what? Both can be true. The definition of a person should never come down to the money they make. It's about who they are, what they believe in, and what they do. And so Colin Kaepernick can care about social justice and rights for minorities and better policing, regardless of his socioeconomic status, just like Donald Trump can be an affluent millionaire, and if he chooses to campaign for supposedly the forgotten man or the white working class, he can do that too. But you don't get to have one and not the other.
Mm-hmm.
So either tell me Trump's a false prophet and Colin Kaepernick can't stand for people because he's rich too, or guess what? It's possible for people to stick up for people even if they're not specifically the ones that are oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
Get yourself, if you're out there talking reckless about Colin's rich and he can't stand for people, but Donald Trump can.
Exactly. I agree.
All right. And I'm still not watching the NFL.
I might tune in.
Who's your team?
I don't know. Dallas?
So they're not because only America's team, they're like Canada's team too?
No, because in Canada, we like the teams that are like famous American teams, like the Cowboys and the Steelers, basically. No, I'm with you.
What happened? Isn't Buffalo close to where you live?
Ain't nobody cheering for the Buffalo Bills. Are you nuts?
They got to the Super Bowl 4 straight times.
In what year, bro?
Back when Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas were the main players, they lost 4 straight years, but they got there.
Okay, well, they were trying to move the Bills to Canada, and that didn't really happen. And no, I'm not going to go there.
All right, another new rule.
Mm-hmm.
Get your people, get yourself, if you say one thing in public and do another behind closed doors.
Hmm.
Speaking of football, your man's in them.
Ray Ray?
This is a perfect example. Ray talking about Colin Kaepernick. Hey, Colin, chill out. Keep your business to yourself.
Yeah.
And then yet, supposedly behind closed doors, he's like, yo, get Colin a job. I want him to work for the Baltimore Ravens. I want y'all to hook him up. So it's been weird. Like, supposedly he's saying he's all for Colin behind the scenes, but in public, he seems to take a slightly more convoluted and off-kilter stance.
Mm.
So watch it out there, underdogs. Talking one thing in public and saying another behind closed doors, first of all, it's confusing. And second of all, it's just not consistent.
Exactly.
And then if you keep that up, people will be like, yo, go get your mans in them.
Go get your mans in them.
All right, another new rule. When someone wants to volunteer to do something that you don't want to do, let them.
Let them.
Let them.
Let them.
Let me repeat this. When someone volunteers to do something that you don't want to do, let them.
Don't be offended.
What's a good example of this going on in our culture right now?
What?
Transgender soldiers.
Hmm.
There's folks talk about they shouldn't be allowed to serve. We don't want them in the military. They're a distraction. And these are people who they don't want to serve. Matter of fact, Donald Trump, last time I checked, reported he found some way to skedaddle scoot around.
Skedaddle scoot? I believe the word you're looking for is circumvent.
Not circumloquacious?
No. Circumvent the draft process by saying he had a spur on his foot. That's the truth.
And so if transgender folks want to serve, who are currently serving right now, and oh, by the way, in 18 other countries around the world, there's transgender soldiers, and they've been able to figure it out in those other countries, and so have we because they're serving now. If folks want to be part of our voluntary army and serve, and you don't, let them. Or else somebody be like, yo, go get your mans in them.
Right. I mean, even if they did, even if Trump and whoever, even if there's people who do serve in the army that are opposing these people serving in the army, that's still wrong.
Yes. Yes. Totally. Let's be on the record. We are pro allowing the transgender military service members to continue to serve and be a part of the armed forces. And at the same time, bigger picture, folks want to do something and you don't let them. Please.
Yeah.
And lastly, a personal one.
Yeah.
You can't be who you were and who you want to be at the same time.
Oh, that's profound. That's deep, son. Say that one more time.
New rule. You can't be who you used to be and who you want to be at the same time.
Wow, that's deep. I think I'm going to have to put that on my wall, son.
I
think that I need what I'm not. One of my weaknesses is neat handwriting.
You can type it and then print it out.
Oh, that's good. Oh, yeah. There's computers and stuff.
If you have a printer.
Ain't nobody got no printer. I know you got one and they had ink for 10 years. So.
Why are you telling my business? Because I literally have a printer in my apartment right now that's unplugged and not. And I'm sure all it needs is like the Geek Squad or somebody to do something that I haven't figured out what to do.
I called Gregory one day. I was in a pinch. I needed to print something for a project I was doing. I was like, hey, Gregory, do you have a printer? He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like, okay, cool. Can I come use it? He's like, oh, well, it just doesn't have any ink. And I'm like, so what am I supposed to do?
Okay. Go to the library.
Anyways.
With my library card that Curtis Magwood still has.
Oh, that's funny.
New rule. If someone lends you something, give it back to them. Kirsten Magwood, where's my library card? Shout out to Kirsten, part of the underdog team, and also still has my library card.
You know what time it is, though, right?
Yeah, it's time for her to give me my library card back. That's what it's time for. And time for me to get my printer fixed. And time for me to always remember the new rule of I can't be, you can't be who you were and who you want to be at the same time.
At the same damn time.
Yes. And it's time for the big finish of the show, Uninhibited Q&A, where Asha Davis has a question for me that I don't even know what the question is.
And you have to answer in the most uninhibited, honest fashion that you can think of on your feet.
Well, so, I'm sitting down right now.
I mean, on the spot. That's why I don't give you a chance to formulate lies. That's why I don't tell you the question ahead of time, much as you ask me to.
The goal is not to formulate lies. Remember, you can't say one thing in public and another behind the closed scenes. That's a new rule.
True. So our uninhibited today, we were talking about get your mans in them and, you know, people messing up and having to get got.
Yep, like the notorious HRC, Steve Breitbart Bannon. Like the Vegas Police Department.
The LVPD definitely got to get got right now. So I'm going to say our uninhibited question of this week is, tell us about a situation, Gregory.
A situation.
Where you had to be the one to go and get those mans or women's. So whether it was a friend that messed up that you had to cut off and basically go get them out your life, whether it was a situation where somebody did something to someone that you care about that you basically had to go get that person. What, tell us about a time like that.
Ooh, a time when I had to go get my peoples or potentially let go of my peoples. Ooh, that's a good question.
Getting them by letting go.
Yeah, getting them by letting go. I would say, and I'm rattling my brain right now trying to find a good situation. So let me talk it out, and something I know will come to me, which is there's definitely been times when I've chosen to let people go who've been in my life before. And I'll say it doesn't feel too good. Because part of me feels like, am I like being a bad person, or could I figure out a way to make it work where, like, is it really where, like, things have to end? Mm-hmm. So I would say, just for me personally, it's always a challenge, and I always kind of beat myself up about moving on, because part of me is like, am I like leaving them, or am I a bad person, mm-hmm, by saying like it's no longer works for me to have them as close in my life anymore? And so I would say, I've had some friends in my life where I think about work and like maybe their approach to work, and us not being on the same page in terms of me becoming an entrepreneur, maybe even some of the ways they like to do business, mm-hmm, which may be a little bit on the not so up and up, mm-hmm, and having to choose to walk away from potentially the money opportunity and even the friendship because I just didn't want to operate that way. And then sometimes that meant no longer having the friendship in the same way too. And what I've learned is that over time, our friends and our circles change, or the proximity we have to them changes too. So the boundaries change. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I've had times, and specific ones aren't coming to mind, but there's definitely been times when I've created new boundaries, felt real bad about it, but in the long run, it turned out to be the right thing.
Has there ever been a situation where you had a friend and you witnessed them do something not good and you basically had to take them aside?
Yeah. So I've had friends where, let's say there's a couple, like a married couple, and I'm friends with both of them. And then there's some drama and a divorce and a split. And literally there's been times where it's like, I get hey, pick a side. Like, it's hard to dance in the circle now with both of them and myself. And so there's been times where I didn't feel like I liked how the other person treated my friend in that situation, and I walked away from the relationship. So as a result, after all that went down, I had only one friend instead of two.
Hmm. Interesting.
And that's happened with family stuff too. If someone's wrong, my parents or stuff like that, then I give my people the benefit of the doubt. I ride with my team. Hmm. And so if someone has wronged a family member, my loyalty is with my people. And so then I will choose to create a new boundary with that person who's done something offensive, or even just on like bad or a little dishonest or just like not good stuff. I walk away.
All right. Well, thank you so much for another open and uninhibited answer.
Yeah. And it means losing some people in your life, but also keeping the ones that you really care for in it too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. With that, end of the show. Get your people, get your mans in them, because as we learned this week, there are definitely some folks in politics, culture, and our personal lives that need a time out, mm-hmm, to go sit in the corner,
yep,
or literally get kicked off the island.
Yep.
And we talked about it today, and we appreciate you. And if you missed any of today's show, there's a podcast.
Yep.
That'll be out tomorrow on iTunes, Podomatic, Google Play, and YouTube. And you can subscribe. And shout out to all of you who've made the podcast number in the top 100 in society and culture on Podomatic out of thousands of podcasts. That's a pretty big deal, and we appreciate you. And as always, I leave you with my favorite quote.
Yep.
Underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Back next week. Appreciate you. Peace.